As I said, and as most of you know, I took a trip out to Kansas this past week to get some things from my house there that had been there since high school. And I thought it was time that I picked those up since I've been out of high school 30-some years. But while I was there, it's always good for me to spend time with my parents, you know, living so far away to kind of reestablish my knowledge of them, to learn something new, just to kind of appreciate them more. And especially my father. Growing up, my father always worked. My father, when he was young, spent a year living in a car. He was that poor. And so he tried to make up for it and made sure that we always had everything we needed. But because of that, I didn't really know him too well. I didn't have, I don't think, as great an appreciation for him as I should have. But I do remember one time that he increased that quite a bit. I was in my 20s then. I don't know whether I come home from college or from a job, and on the kitchen table was a chocolate cake. And on the chocolate cake was a note from my mother that said, "David, take the cake." So my mom had made it for me. But my dad had crossed out part of that and said, "Take half the cake." That was reasonable. So like I say, you know, just little things like that, you gain a much greater appreciation for your relatives. The 8th chapter of Romans has given me a great appreciation for Paul. You know, Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was about as steeped in tradition as a person could be, being a Jewish person. He was, because of that, stifled with his understanding or ability to accept anything new. He was a persecutor of the church. He was holding the coats when Stephen was stoned to death. Because of all that, we could have lost a little appreciation for him, except when he was converted to Christianity, he became one of its greatest spokespersons. And he took the historical facts and he translated for us and what it means. What did it mean for Jesus, the very Son of God, to die on a cross for humanity? Paul, because of our appreciation for him in this 8th chapter of Romans, tells us what that means. First of all, it means that the Holy Spirit knows us perfectly. And so when you go to pray, it already knows, or he already knows what you need. Have you ever had a time in which you just kind of felt disturbed, maybe a little unhappy, maybe a little anxious, a little afraid? You didn't know why. You wanted to pray, and you wanted God to understand. Well, God already understood. Even before you pray, the Spirit knows what you need. And so when you do pray, it's a way of you really coming to grips with what you need because God already knows. Because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, the Holy Spirit is our advocate with God. Now, I know we all know what influence is, and it's always good to have somebody who has influence with someone else when you need something. Here we have the Holy Spirit, who has our best interest in mind, who intercedes with God for us because of Christ. Secondly, Paul wrote that we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. You should memorize that particular sentence. Because think about it. Think about the world situation. There's the wars. There's the different governments over in the Middle East that are falling apart. There's the national debt. There's all of that discussion. It seems like politicians can't come to a good conclusion. There's the underfunding of pensions. There's all of those things, including our own family situations, that could lead you to doubt whether God has your best interest in mind or not. But this says that in spite of all those things that surround us and scare us to death, that all things work out for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So instead of being anxious, instead of being fearful, we can try to learn what we need to do to make our way in spite of the world, in spite of our own government, in spite of our own families, knowing that God has our best interest in mind. And then that comes in the next part. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? You got the big guy on your side. And even though the whole world might be against you, you have the biggest on your side. Nothing else even compares remotely to the power of God. I told you I went out to Kansas to bring back some stuff, so I had to rent a U-Haul. They didn't have a U-Haul in Salina, so I had to drive over to Hutchinson, Kansas, about an hour and a half away. It's a good trip, got to do it with my father. But when I got over there to rent the U-Haul, they wouldn't rent it to me. They told me that I owed them $1,800. Well, back in 2006, there was a guy that broke down here in our community, and he had a car full of stuff. It was on his roof. It was inside. It was a station. Well, I mean, it was just jam-packed. And his story that he was going to Florida, but he couldn't make it. So one of the other pastors, I guess, didn't have time that day to help him. He's no longer my friend. I took the guy down to Irmo because there was no U-Haul in Newberry. And fortunately, I paid with a check. I didn't sign the rental agreement. The guy got the U-Haul, went back to Newberry, got his stuff, went to Florida. Well, I remember getting a call a couple days later wanting to know where their U-Haul was. Well, that was on March the 9th that he rented that U-Haul. On April the 3rd, he turned it in. He had 400 miles. He had driven it 1,900 miles. And it was my name on the agreement. Well, we got that straightened out the other day. Well, you can imagine that I was thinking, man, things are kind of against me here. You know, here we've driven all the way to Hutchinson, and now we can't get the U-Haul. I have all this stuff I got in my parents' living room, and I was a little frustrated. But here it says, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, I know about you, but that gives me great encouragement in situations like that. To not lose hope. To continue to work. It finally worked out. My father was able to rent the U-Haul instead. It finally worked out till we were able to function. I'd like for you to keep that in mind, too. That if God is for you, who can be against you? And he showed that he was for you in that he didn't even spare his own son, but gave him up freely to die for your sins. Now that's amazing, isn't it? God is for you. Anything that's against you is small in comparison. As I said before, I have a great appreciation for Paul, great appreciation for my father, appreciation for a lot of others, because after getting to know them, I realize how much I can learn. I hope you'll also have a great appreciation for Paul and study the Word of God that he's handed down to us. Amen.